our primary finding was is that amongst city officials, so the mayor's office, if you will, and associated officials in the mayor's office and the police department, the communication was sometimes disjointed. And I think everyone was very well-intentioned in trying to resolve the issue at hand. And so there were conversations that were had between elected and appointed officials with various members of the occupation demonstration groups, and there were several groups. And those conversations happened with the purpose of trying to resolve and end the demonstration and occupation. But in many instances, the police department wasn't aware that those conversations were going on, nor were they necessarily aware of the results of those conversations, which then at times left the police department operating in the dark. There were also, I think, a series of miscommunications or non-communications between the mayor's office and the chief of police in terms of the operation that was going forward and the tactics to be used to resolve the occupation and demonstration. Sometimes the mayor's office had those conversations with some of the chief's subordinates, and I think that left the primary decision maker in the police department sometimes out of the loop in terms of what efforts were being had. And generally what we recommend, and I think is an accepted best practice, is that when you have a crisis event like this, you very quickly implement what we refer to as the incident command system. And in doing so, what you designate is the person who's going to lead the government, in this case, the city response to the crisis. They become the key decision maker. They become the voice of the government response to the community and to, in this case, the protesters and occupiers of the 4th Precinct.
Is that, if I could just interrupt you for a second, Mr. Straub, on that, because I'd like to explore that a little bit more, if you don't mind. So this person, is this a person then that is designated, that is agreed upon jointly, say, by the mayor and the police chief to be a person who is commanding this effort, as it were, or at least is the focal person for it?
Yeah, typically what happens is, and this is one of the recommendations in the report, is that prior to any one of these events, right, and it doesn't have to be a protest, it could be a natural disaster, there is a agreed-to system in place that if X happens and if X reaches the crisis stage, goes beyond a routine emergency, traffic accident or something along those lines, that this system or hierarchy or structure will be put in place. So typically in an event like this, the police chief would be the primary incident commander because we're talking about a law enforcement response to a civil disturbance. And she would be placed in command of the police assets and also in coordination with different department directors, their assets as well. So whether it was the fire department or the building department or code enforcement or whoever, they would generally come under the auspices of the police chief who would run the operation on a day-to-day basis, and then she would work in concert with the political leader of the city, the mayor, and the city council.
It sounds like there wasn't really a clear delineation of authority in the response to this particular incident. Would that be a fair conclusion?
I would say that that's accurate, yes.
Is there anything else that you would like to add?
Yeah, I think it's very important to stress a couple things. Number one, that the city did come to the Department of Justice and ask for them to have someone do this assessment. I think that is admirable and shows a tremendous amount of introspection on their part. I certainly applaud the COPS office, the Department of Justice Office of Community-Oriented Policing Services, for engaging in these critical incident reviews, because each one of these builds upon the body of knowledge and provides blueprints for cities and police departments, public safety departments throughout the country that are faced with these type of issues. So that's kind of my global response. On a local response, despite the fact that there were these disconnects, the police officers themselves, the women and men that were on the front line of the response to the occupation and the protests, performed incredibly well. They were subjected to verbal abuse, they were subjected to physical abuse, rocks, alcohol cocktails, and other things being thrown at them. And they showed tremendous restraint and tremendous professionalism, which I think is a credit to them as individuals, but also a credit to the department. And even though there were these miscommunications and missteps, at the end of the day, when you look at the end result in Minneapolis as compared to other cities, it really ended in a fairly good way. There was minimal destruction of property. There was limited personal injury. And I think it, in some ways, it really does provide an example for other cities who may be faced with civil disturbance in the future.
It sounds like what you're saying is that performance was good under the circumstances, and that these recommendations you're making may help a response to be better in the future if there's similar circumstance.
Exactly. And again, I have to applaud the city for reaching out and saying we want to improve our performance going forward, and for COPS for taking this on as a national initiative that they have for several years, whether it was in San Bernardino or Orlando, or in Minneapolis. I think, you know, their leadership has provided tremendous insight and guidance to police organizations and to elected officials across the country.